Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 28 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. I will read aloud as you read silently. That's Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8 this morning. As you're finding your place, if you're able, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 28, you read silently while I read aloud. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And, behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring its disciples word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for this passage where we celebrate this day of Resurrection Sunday. God, thank you for our resurrected Savior, one that is alive and lives within our hearts when we receive Christ as our Savior. God, work in our hearts. Meet the needs in this room today. Help, which you always do and which you can do if we're willing and will let you. Now, please anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him to help us. And, Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus as their Savior, their risen Savior, I pray today before they leave this room, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, check your cell phone, please, and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. If you're not sure how to do that, hand it to anybody under the age of 8, and they'll help you with that. They know how to run them better than we do, but just make sure your cell phone does not go off, or you'll be pelted with eggs as you leave the parking lot this morning. So help us there, please. We would appreciate it. Jesus rose from the dead. Thank both you Methodists. I said Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the account, it's not a story. A story could be fictional or non-fictional. The account of Jesus' rising from the dead is true. You see, that's because that's what Christians believe, Pastor Johnson. The tomb is still empty. I can take you to the burial place of all these other so-called great religious leaders. Show you where they put their ashes. Go to Mecca and Saudi Arabia. I can show you the body of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. Go to Red Square in Moscow. The body of Lenin, the leader of the communist people. Their first, considered their first great leader. His body is still there. He's been dead since the 40s. His body is still there in a glass coffin, embalmed and entombed. But he is still dead. But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he stepped into a class all his own. There's nobody like him. Nobody. Because there isn't anybody like Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Now, important thing to understand about the resurrection of Christ is that in this account of Jesus' resurrection, there are a lot of interesting details that go around the story or as a part of the account of what happened. Know this, that Jesus Christ went to the cross and gave his life for us. When they took him down from the cross, ladies and gentlemen, there was no question Jesus was dead. They thrust a spear into his side and ruptured the pericardium, the sac around his heart, and blood and water came out. He was dead. Some people say that he died of a broken heart. We know this. He was dead when they took him down off that cross. When they pulled the nails out of his hands and out of his feet and wrapped him in that burial cloth with 100 pounds of spices for the embalming, and they took him into that tomb and laid him there in Matthew chapter 27, across from the page where you were just reading a moment ago in verse number 60, Joseph of Arimathea had a new tomb he had not used as of yet. They laid Jesus in that tomb, and the Bible said Joseph and some men rolled a great stone in front of it, and then Jesus was dead. And for 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was dead. And after 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The resurrection of Christ sets him apart from any and all others. There is nobody like Jesus. I do not like it. I find it disparaging and disrespectful for somebody to put Jesus in the same category as some other religious leader. He is not like any other religious leader. He is unique. He is special. He is the only one who raised from the dead, and if you do it correctly, the only one who raised himself from the dead. Now, you think about that for a moment. I was telling the young people today in our school about Harry Houdini, great escape artist and magician of years ago, who could escape from anything. They put him in a straitjacket and double wrap and tie it with chains, and Houdini figured out how to get out of the straitjacket by dislocating his shoulders. He could pull himself out of the straitjacket, and they would do it with him hanging 30, 40 feet in the air, put him in a box and drop him in the river wrapped in chains, and he could get out of that box before he died. He was a great escape artist and a master at it. Houdini thought he could escape death. So he gave his wife a password as he just before he died, that if you go to one of these seances, and Houdini didn't believe in them, he found they were phony, and they are. He said, if you go to a seance or someone comes to you and says, I'm speaking to them from the dead, this is the word I will use. His wife never heard from him again because Houdini is dead. Jesus Christ is alive today. He rose from the dead. And in this account of his resurrection are great details that should cause us to take a time today on this Easter Resurrection Sunday and spend some time to look at this. And today I want to take just one part of this account of Christ's resurrection. It comes from Matthew 28 and verse number 2. And it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. The very stone they had used to close the tomb, now that stone is rolled away. And the Bible said the angel who was there when the earthquake came and rolled the stone back, sat upon that stone and waited for some visitors. And a couple of godly ladies came, and he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And he had them look inside there. But did you consider with me this morning, and would you for a few moments, consider why the stone was rolled away? What does it mean? It means something more than just, and by the way, it was not to let Jesus out. If death could not hold him, rock is not going to hold him. If death could not hold him, then a stone is not going to hold him. The stone was rolled away for several purposes. First of all, it was rolled away to undo what man did. Listen now, listen to me. It was the edict of man that put Jesus on the cross. He stood in judgment, 7 different trials in less than 12 hours, declared innocent and yet guilty in all those trials. His crucifixion is the greatest travesty of justice on this earth today. Because he was declared innocent, they could not find him guilty of anything except that he said he was the Son of God, and he was guilty of that because that's who Jesus was. But it was the edict of man that brought about the crucifixion of Christ. But by the way, don't misunderstand that this morning. I'm not saying the Romans were guilty or the Jews were guilty, because the edict of man was not just the law that said Jesus will be crucified. The edict of man was your sin and mine that crucified Jesus on that cross. It's as if we were there and drove the nails into his hands and into his feet, because Jesus had to die. And he didn't just die because he was taken as a rebel leader. Jesus Christ had to die on the cross to pay the sin debt that you owe and that I owe to God. My sin and your sin crucified Jesus. The Bible said he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. May I say to you this morning, that is why, ladies and gentlemen, going to heaven is not about how good you are. It's about whether or not your sin has been paid for. Enough of this religion of man telling people, if you live a good life, if you get baptized, if you do your best, if you speak in tongues, if you live this, if you do that, if you don't do this, if you join our church, if you become one of us, then you're going to go to heaven because you did good. It's not good that matters to God. It's sin, and sin was paid for by Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. Hey, your sin and my sin crucified Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away by the angel, the Bible says, to reveal an empty tomb so you could look over and see that there was a cross where Jesus came and man's sin crucified Jesus, but God made the payment through his son, Jesus Christ. That empty tomb and the stone rolled away was God showing us it's God who has to undo what man did, not man. Now, folks, look at me. My church, your church, nobody's church can save them. Nobody can give you a bill of forgiveness. No one can give you the right of salvation. No, I can't pay for your sins and you can't pay for mine. We're both sinners in the same condition. It's man's sin that crucified Christ. That's why you and I, individually, one at a time, have to come to Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in him for our salvation. There is no universal salvation. Just because Jesus died for everyone does not mean everyone's sin has been paid for. He paid for everyone's sin, but each sinner must come to the Savior and trust him for their salvation. Have you done that this morning? Has there been a time in your life where you realized that Jesus Christ died for you? And went to the cross for you. And loved you enough to take your sin upon himself. Died bearing that sin and went to the grave. And after 3 days rose from the dead to give us our salvation as a free gift purchased by his precious blood. Man put the stone in front of the tomb. God rolled it away. He's trying to show us God undoing what man has done. I hope we understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in going to church. I think it's a good thing for you to do. You'll grow if you'll go to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You will. You'll learn things that you need to know from God's Word. Would God, all of our churches were more interested in teaching people than entertaining them. Would God, our churches today were more concerned with giving the Word of God out to folks and teaching them in Sunday school programs and church services. Would God, we were more interested in that than we were in entertaining people. And trying to put on a show for folks to see. See, we're not getting the kind of Christianity we need from that kind of stuff because it's all man-centered. It's man's problem that created the cross and a need for an empty tomb, but it's God who fixed that problem through his son, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I have to say something this morning. I believe it is wrong. I believe it is wicked that we're having cool April nights on an Easter Sunday. That we have in Red Bluff Rodeo on Easter Sunday. You know, listen to me. Say, well, what's wrong with that, Pastor Johnson? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. You got some other stinking day to do that kind of stuff. Leave the resurrection Easter Sunday of Jesus Christ. Leave it alone. Why do we have to keep messing with things that God has? There's such a disrespect for God in our country today. You want to have that kind of stuff? Have it some other time. But leave the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ alone. This is our day. This is our day to honor our worship, our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ today. I don't care whether people like it or not. It's disgusting. You say, that's just because you're a pastor. No, it's come. I'm a Christian. I was born again, washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and given eternal life by that crucified, resurrected Savior. Not by some shiny bumper on a car, not by some dude riding a horse. I don't have a problem with any of that kind of stuff. Just put it where it belongs and leave the things of Jesus alone. See, that's all man stuff. We'd rather walk around and look at stuff than go listen to a message about how Christ rose from the dead. You say, well, don't give us a bad time. We're here. I know. I'm sorry. I told you. I apologize before I started. But it just bugs the fire out of me. We even have to share it with a bunch of pot smokers. 420. Got people out today who thought it was so funny. They're rolling joints in the symbol of a cross. You know, there's something wrong with people if they have that kind of mentality. That's messed up in our society today. See, that's man messing around with what God intended. That's why God didn't ask people to go roll the stone away. He sent his angel, stomped on the ground. That angel rolled it back and set on an empty tomb, a stone in front of an empty tomb to show us that God undoes what man does. Let me also say this very quickly and we'll get back to the Easter egg concept. Man always loses. God always wins. They thought he was dead. They put 16 soldiers, trained veteran soldiers, in front of that tomb. to make sure by man's edict. They even put a seal of the governor on there that if you broke that seal, that could cost you your life. Man did everything he could to keep Jesus in the tomb. But when it was time for him to rise from the dead, man lost. God won. God always does. Figure that out now. That's how it is. It may look like man's up now doing his thing, but I assure you when it's over and said and done, God wins. The stone was rolled away for God to undo what man did. The stone was rolled away to announce that death had failed. The place of the tomb, this place of the tomb was in a cemetery. Been to many of them, dozens of them, preached many a funeral and graveside service in cemeteries. It's a place where people go whose bodies are laid in the ground. The place of the tomb is a place of death. For 3 days and three nights, that's where Jesus was, a place of death. And after 3 days and three nights, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And here's what that means. Death lost, God won. Death failed. See, ladies and gentlemen, here's what that means to you and to me today. If you know that Savior as your personal Savior, you and I will experience death. We will. There's two deaths that everyone has to experience. The first one is the physical death, when the body quits working and the soul is separated from the body. That's the first one. The second one is the one where Jesus comes back and the trump of God sounds and we which are alive and remain are caught, changed and caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Did you know it's like a death? Because we are separated once again from this mortal body. Everyone's going to experience death one way or the other. But here's the wonderful thing about it. Since death could not hold Jesus, if you know him as your personal Savior, death will not hold you either. It's not the end. It's not the dead end of a road, ladies and gentlemen. Death is just this right here. That's it. Just that quick. That's all death is. Pass from this life to the next life. And Jesus' resurrection shows us that death has failed. So those of you who even have a fixation today in society with death, they goth up in black stuff and they're all infatuated with death and all these things, zombies and all these kind of junk, and they get all caught up about death. Ladies and gentlemen, death is nothing to the child of God. Death is just passing from this life to the next life. You're breathing one breath here, you breathe the next breath in heaven. You blink your eye here, you open your eyes in the face of God in a place called heaven if you know Christ as your Savior. See that empty tomb, that stone rolled away. Nobody in that tomb because death had failed. Hebrews tells us that Jesus conquered sin and death and hell by his resurrection. I know and understand today that there are folks here this morning who just recently you parted with one of your loved ones. I know today, this morning, there are moms who sit here who had children who go to heaven from their womb. Listen to me. At the moment of conception in a mother's womb, that's a life. The Bible teaches that. That's where we get it. It's not an anti-abortion principle. It's a pro-Bible principle. That's a life. And many moms have had children go to heaven from their womb. Did you know one day, mom, you'll get to see that little one? Did you know that? Do you understand today that death has failed and that God has conquered death through the person of Jesus Christ and his resurrection? You see why there's such hope on Easter Sunday? I know it's about the bunnies laying eggs. I still can't figure how we got to that point. It's about bunnies laying chocolate eggs and all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. Yeah, you go out this afternoon, you do an egg hunt and all that kind of stuff. Fine, wonderful. Have a great time. Make sure you get them all or the lawnmower will find them and you will be really sorry. But we don't even mess with those anymore. Now we got plastic eggs and all that kind of stuff. Designer eggs. I think they even have them now where they're, hologram eggs, where they're not even real. I don't know what they're doing nowadays. The old day of taking eggs, boiling them, and coloring them, those are pretty much shot. But, okay, fine. But here it is now. Look at me. The empty tomb and that stone rolled away says, death has failed. Man's edict could not keep Jesus there. He rose from the dead, and death could not hold him. Now, I don't know what that does for you this morning. That means something pretty special to me. The closer I get to death, the more special it becomes. What do you mean, yes, sir? What are you talking about? You and I are on the same slippery slope, my friend, headed that direction. To know the resurrected Savior is to know that death did not hold him, and death will not hold you. And the stone was rolled away quite simply because he wanted to reveal to us that it was an empty tomb. He says in verse number 6, come see the place where the Lord lay. He did not say, come see the place where the Lord is. Past tense. The angel says to those dear people that came, he said, look, come see the place where he was. He's not here anymore. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. The empty tomb was more than just a place to see. It was and is a fulfillment of a promise. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus told us before he died? He said, you put my body in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and I will rise from the dead. A lot of promises made today, yes? The unfortunate thing is elections come up on a semi-regular basis. We're still choking on the promises not kept from the last one. But not only that, but people make promises, don't they? They make promises, they say things, and then don't fulfill them. Jesus promised that he would raise himself from the dead. And did you know he did exactly what he promised? Oh, now here's what that means. Anything else he promised, he'll keep that too. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He promised to prepare us a place in heaven, and he promised to come back and take us to that place. He said, when, Pastor Johnson? I don't know when. It's in the hands of the Father, and he will determine when that day comes. But the day will come, and I assure you, you will not close your eyes in death and wake up in a Walmart with eternally narrow aisles. You're not going to wake up in this life, and you're not going to wake up in a grave. You'll close your eyes and wake up in heaven, that place Jesus promised us would be there. And if it does not come that we pass by death to that life, then it will be that Jesus will come and take us there. Either way, as we say, it's all good. Do you know why? Because he keeps his promises. That resurrection from the dead is a promise fulfilled. The resurrection from the dead, that empty tomb, is a confirmation of who he really is. Romans 1 verse 4 says, he is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That's why I said earlier, he is like nobody else. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son. And when he rose from the dead, that nailed it down once and for all forever, that he was like nobody else that ever walked this earth. It's a confirmation that Jesus Christ is not just someone special. He's the Son of God and God the Son. And an empty tomb is an assurance of this process God has promised. Jesus would be the first fruits, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. He would be the first fruits to rise from the dead. And he used the picture of harvest. How that when they went to the fields, there was the first fruits taken from the fields or the crops. That was the very best they had because they were going to give that to God. Your best should always be given to God. Not the last, not the least, and not what's left over. The first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits. He's the very best of the resurrection. Then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, then cometh the harvest. That means one day, my friend, there will come a great harvesting of a resurrection. Jesus Christ will come. The Bible says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God be with us. Have you gone to a cemetery and said a parting goodbye to a loved one and you laid their body in the grave? Did you done that before and thought to yourself, I wonder if this is it. I wonder if it's all over and said and done. Every time I go to a cemetery and do a graveside service, I always make the same statement because it always impressed on me. Years ago, I heard an old preacher say that every cemetery is a resurrection garden. That trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. They're not in the graves. Their bodies are there. But Jesus will call even that which they planted up, and they will be reunited with the Lord, and so will we. And we will ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, it's not just that life is not the end for us. Life is not the end for any of our loved ones that knew Christ. They're waiting for us. We're going to go join them very soon. Today wouldn't be a bad day. It'd have been nice if it had been April 14th, but okay, then today wouldn't be a bad day. Any day's a good day, yes? Any day's a good day to get together with family. And hey, no politics. No arguing. No family drama. Isn't it sad? You get your family together for a little bit, and all it takes is one knucklehead. One knucklehead who decides to make this their dramatic performance. Maybe we should just kind of have a couple of Oscars in the closet at our house. So when the family gathers and that one person decides to bust a move on their dramatic performance, we could stop them about halfway and say, now we'd like to present for the most dramatic performance that ruined our family gathering to this knucklehead, and hand them their little statue and tell them to sit down and shut up. You know, when we get to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, that's not going to happen. It isn't. In heaven, some of you folks, we're going to have name tags because we're not going to know you. Oh, it's not because you're going to look different. It's because you're going to be acting different. You're going to actually be happy. You're going to enjoy yourself and enjoy the glory of heaven. Hey, and we're going to actually get along with each other. It's amazing when you stop to think about the great reunion day when we're all gathered together with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Because God said that's the way it'll be. That empty tomb, the stone rolls back. Hey, you know what? All we did was lay their body there. There with the Lord, and one day we'll be with them. And Easter Sunday reminds me this is not all there is. I meet them all the time, the great skeptics who say, well, I don't believe in that stuff. I just believe you do the best you can, live and die, and that's all there is. You know, I've never seen one person say that with a smile on their face. I just think you die, and when it's over, and that's life. Well, that's not true. I've seen a few of them, but they were drunk. Truth of the matter is, or high, or both, or heavily medicated, or all three. Sometimes you get the package. But most skeptics, to be honest with you, they look so happy. Well, I just believe you live and die, and that's the end of life. Well, God bless you. I believe you live and die, and it just starts. It just gets good at that point. That's when the best stuff is. Well, why doesn't God give us all the good stuff now, Pastor Johnson? Because you'd leave it here. It'd all be gone. You'd leave it behind you. You ever gone to the airport with too much luggage? Every American does. Too much weight in their luggage. And they tell you, you've got to take some of that out or you have to pay an unholy amount that just about balances the national debt. And you're standing there trying to pull stuff out of there because you want to take stuff with you, but you can't. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is we're going to leave it all here. All the stuff that goes with life is going to be left here. And the very best of what God has for us, and it's not bad now is it? Thank both you Methodists. I said it's not bad now, is it? It is too. Seriously, how many are going to have ham today because it's Easter Sunday? We're celebrating a Jesus who was a Jew and we're eating ham. Now figure that one out. Okay, but the truth is, who cares? Eat that ham. God bless hog meat. You know, the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, it's all right now. It is all right now. It is. It's difficult, but it's all right now. It's better now than it has ever been in our lives under the grace of God. It's okay now, but the best is yet to come. Many times as a kid, I sat there through a meal I did not want to eat. Had a lot of vegetables and stuff in it. You're supposed to feed that stuff to the stuff you eat. That's what the vegetables are for. But okay, I've choked down boiled squash before. I love it now. I used to choke it down. Artichokes. They don't even look like you ought to eat those things. My grandmother would boil them, and we'd take them out, and she said, now you pull the stem out, pull the leaves back, and put it in a little mayonnaise, and just pull it off like that. I said, what are we, a bunch of animals or something? Artichoke. I'd get through meals like that, and all I could think of was butterscotch pudding. Yeah. Butterscotch pudding. I love butterscotch pudding. Or, if it's the right season, peach cobbler. Not canned peach cobbler. And they're doing the backstroke and that brown sugar stuff with the crust on top of it, with a big coarse grated sugar on the top of that, with homemade ice cream on top. I could choke down an artichoke if I could have peach cobbler with ice cream on it. I could get there. I could. I'd be thinking about that, thinking, oh, man, strawberries and ice cream. Homemade shortcake, and you put the strawberry with the juice that and then it soaks into the, and then you put the whipped cream on top of that. Oh, I could get through a whole plate of squash if I could have strawberries on shortcake. See, what's your point? I have no idea. I got off on food. I don't even know where I'm going now. I lost it. As good as life is, it has its sorrows and its sadness, doesn't it? And there are valleys that we have to walk in this life, but the best is yet to come. It's Easter Sunday, friend. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. It's just going to get better. Oh, yes. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, would you?